Today's word is excellence. Excellence. Each one of us is given only a limited time to serve the Lord. That time is called day, and we say limited because the night is coming when no one can work. John chapter 9, verse 4 says this, "As long as it is day, we must do the work of Him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work." You see, night represents the end of our opportunity to serve God. Often that means when our physical bodies quit working for whatever reason, through tragedy, death, old age, whatever it is, when our bodies finally quit, that means our time is done. Our time is done here on this earth, right? Night has fallen, and whatever we've done in the day is what we've got. So I came across a poem this week, and it says this, "Work, for the night is coming. Work through the morning hours. Work while the dew is sparkling. Work mid springing flowers. Work when the day grows brighter. Work in the glowing sun. Work, for night is coming when man's work is done. Work, for the night is coming. Work through the sunny noon. Fill brightest hours with labor. Rest comes sure and soon. Fill brightest hours with labor. Rest comes sure and soon. Give every flying minute something to keep in store. Work, for the night is coming when man works no more. Work, for the night is coming under the sunset skies. While their bright tints are glowing, work, for the daylight flies. Work till the last beam fadeth to shine no more. Work while the night is darkening when man's work is o'er." We were made to serve. Did you know that? We were made to serve. But not just to serve. We were created to serve with excellence. Excellence in our personal lives, excellence in our vocational lives, excellence in our relational lives, in our relationships, excellence in our morality. And spiritual excellence is required of us as children of God. Paul Harvey once told a story about a woman. She called up the Butterball Turkey Factory. She called up their consumer hotline. And she asked about the advisability of cooking a turkey that had been in her freezer for 23 years. 23 years a turkey in a freezer. Well, the customer service rep told her that it would be okay to eat as long as the freezer had maintained a 0 degree temperature without interruption. But even so, the flavor would probably be deteriorated so much that it wouldn't taste very good. It would be safe, but it probably just wouldn't taste very good. The caller then said, "Oh, well, that's what we thought. We'll just give it to the church." How many times does the church get the leftovers? How many times does the church get what we no longer want? And I'm not talking about just worn-out furniture and stuff like that. I'm talking about of our lives. How much time does the church get from us that which we wouldn't miss anyway? But if it's important, I'm going to keep that stuff for me. That's mine. But the church, I'm generous. I'm going to give the church my 23-year-old turkey. The church is not the place for bad leftovers. Church is not even the place for good leftovers. It's not the place to do the minimum required. It's not the place for mediocrity. Church is the place for excellence. What does excellence mean? It means giving or doing the maximum or exceeding the maximum. Excellence is not to be confused with perfection. Okay, excellence and perfection aren't synonyms. They don't mean the same thing. Excellence is a reflection of the God we serve. Do we serve an excellent God? Amen, we do. And it does not happen by accident. Excellence is a deliberate effort or action. We have to choose to be excellent. It's well thought out. It's well planned and it's well executed. It takes work to be excellent. Excellent shows up in the details. And if you could still do something more, then you have not done whatever it is with excellence, if there's something left on the table. Excellence takes time. And true excellence is measured over time. We can't just decide tomorrow we're going to be excellent. You got to work at it. You got to work at it. And times come when it makes it very difficult to work at being excellent. Yes? What makes excellence is when you work through that stuff by the power and the grace of God and you achieve excellence on the other side. I want to show you something. It's a video I'm going to show you about. It's an example of excellence achieved over a long period of time. We got the video. I did not ask for permission to show that. Because here's the truth. Had I asked for his permission, he'd have said no. He'd have said no. Surely, 42 years of consistent and deliberate performance is something to be recognized and applauded, is it not? I love one of the things, and Mark has told me this before in our conversations. I can't believe they pay me to do what I love to do. Wouldn't it be awesome if we as church members could say that? I can't believe I get to serve in the church. I can't believe I get to minister. I can't believe I get to worship God. He lets me do that. I love it. He lets me do what I love to do. Mark is not one that again, he didn't even want to go to California to go and have this award. He asked him to speak, and he said, I'd rather just mail it to me in the mail. You know, because Mark is not one that seeks recognition and glory and all that. And I'm not doing this to embarrass him or really to point him out or anything. But I believe that excellence is something to be applauded. Don't you? Don't you? Excellence is a lifestyle. Aristotle, the great philosopher, not Christian philosopher, but the philosopher said this. We are what we repeatedly do. Excellence is not an act. Excellence is a habit. It's done over time. And it's proven over time. It's proven with consistency. Does excellence deserve recognition? Does excellence deserve recognition? Do we serve an excellent God? Does he deserve recognition? What kind of recognition does God deserve? Our very best. Our very best. He deserves excellent recognition. He deserves the very best. I talked with our folks this Wednesday night. Have you ever been told that sometimes your best just ain't good enough? And it's true. Sometimes our very, very best just isn't quite good enough. Now, as I told him, a lot of times we look back and we can honestly say, well, that wasn't really my very, very best. There was still something more I could have done. But sometimes our very best, we give our very best and it's still not quite good enough. Then what? Do we just say, well, my best ain't good enough? I challenged our Wednesday night crowd. That's when you got to make your best a little better. It's when you got to make your best a little better. And sometimes we can't do that our own. That's why we need the Holy Spirit to come within us, fill us up, and complete us for those things that we're not. To be all that we're not. Now, some are more capable than others at certain tasks. And that's a fact. But whatever we do should be done with excellence, to the best of our given ability. Colossians chapter 3, verses 23 and 24 says this. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. Did you know that when Mark is organizing and instructing mechanics and keeping them on their toes how to keep a life flight aircraft in the air, that he's not just serving the victims of vehicle accidents and emergencies and that, he's serving the Lord. He's serving the Lord in that. That ought to be our attitude in everything. I want to speak on three areas where excellence should be the standard that we strive to achieve. One is excellence in our motivations, in our motives. We should have excellence there. There are different motives for serving God. Did you know that? Many serve out of a sense of legalism, hoping that they can earn salvation through keeping the right rules, right? Problem is, this directly contradicts salvation by grace through faith as taught in the Bible. Now, some serve God out of guilt. They try to work off their debt as if acts of penance, right? It's guilt. You should feel real bad about what you did, so you need to serve God, and you need to do this, this, and this, and this, and that'll get God back on your good side, right? Guilt. Others serve God for selfish reasons, hoping for financial gain, recognition, or power. But none of these are scriptural. Legitimate motivations for serving God are love, gratitude, a desire to have an eternal significance, rewards, both in this life and eternity, but not for selfish reasons, rewards that will be used to glorify God in the end. Duty. Did you know that duty is a legitimate motive for serving God? Jesus went to the cross out of a sense of duty. Matter of fact, he even told God, he said, I'm going to paraphrase. He basically said, look, I'm not really wanting to do this, but your will, not mine. I will do it because it's what you want, and I'm obliged to do it. I think there's also another one that's called fear. I think fear is a legitimate motive, although it's inferior to love, inferior to gratitude. But fear of disappointing God can be a great motivator for us to serve God. I don't want to stand in front of God one day and Him say, well, you're here. You made it here in spite of all the stuff. I don't want that. I want Him to say, well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter now into the joy of the Lord. Come on in. We've been waiting for you. Matter of fact, I've got a party waiting for you. That's what I want to hear. I would fear hearing something that I would disappoint my God. The second thing I want to talk to you about is excellent in our attitudes. We can have excellent motives. We can have excellent attitudes. Some say that serving God is pointless. Okay? Some say serving God is pointless. What difference does it make, really, in the grand scheme of things? Malachi chapter 3, verse 13 and following says this, you have spoken arrogantly against me, says the Lord. Yet you ask, what have we said against you? You have said, it is futile to serve God. What do we gain by carrying out His requirements and going about like mourners before the Lord Almighty? But now, we call the arrogant blessed. Certainly, evildoers prosper, and even when they put God to the test, they get away with it. Some say that serving God is futile. Some say that, you know, I mean, they look at it and they say, well, look, so-and-so, he's not even a Christian. And look at him. He's got more money than he knows what to do with. He's got a family. He's got boats, yachts. He's got what he gets to go on vacation. He's not even a Christian. And here I am trying to serve God, serve God, serve God, do what God's called me to do, and I'm living in a shack. I struggle to make my utility bills. My car stays broke down. What's the point, somebody might say? Some say that serving God is really burdensome. When you think that you're just a servant, though, I could understand that. When you think that you're just a servant, you're God's whipping boy, or God's errand girl, or God, you're just a servant, I could understand how that attitude could be. But we have to understand that that's not how God sees us. We are God's chosen children, adopted into His family by His choice because He loves us. It's an attitude. It's an attitude. Somebody that feels that they're just a servant and then it becomes burdensome and unbearable, they feel that they have no part in it. Much like, remember the older brother in the story of the prodigal son? The older brother, he was there. He was faithful. He ended up getting 2/3 of the father's wealth, but he was still upset because the younger son just got to go off and squander. And then when he came back, dad wrapped his arms around him and said, "Welcome back home. All that I have is yours." Which is kind of funny because what did the father have left? It was really, basically he was saying, all that your older brother has is yours. And so he felt burdened. He felt cheated. Others have the attitude that serving the Lord is exciting and enjoyable. Did you know that there are people who are excited about serving God? Did you know that there are people who enjoy serving God? I mean, they get excited and they let people know about it. They actually sing and stuff. I will tell you that this attitude, I believe, is the mature Christian's attitude. One who realizes what God has done for them, what God has done for me, what God is doing for me right now, and what I'm hoping and praying God's going to continue to do for me in the future. And it excites me. Let me say something. I don't want you to walk out of this building this morning thinking that Brother Mike is just not happy with us. Not the case. Contrary to that, I believe that I'm excited. I'm excited because I know and I believe, I feel it in my heart that there is something great about to happen in this church. I don't know yet what it is, but I know that we got to get ready for it. We got to get ready for it. We got to be faithful to get ready for it because something big is coming. And I'm excited about it. I'm excited. And I have a sense of urgency about me. I'm excited. The third thing I want to mention to you today, and I'm not going to go real long, but the third thing I want to mention to you this morning is we need excellence in our performance. We do need to have excellence in our performance. I mean, I expect our musicians to know their stuff. I expect our teachers, do you expect the Sunday school teachers to have studied the lesson? Yes, one person does. Thank you, one person. The rest of you do too, don't you? You don't want to go in there and somebody go, "Oh, well, you know, I don't have a clue what we're going to do today. Let's just, you know," you don't want that. You want excellence. You wanted an excellent preacher. You got stuck with me. But I'm getting better. I'm going to keep on getting better until one day I'm going to be an excellent preacher. Quality and quantity both count. Our best should continue to improve. We got to make our best a little better. Make our best a little better. When I was 6 years old, and I was throwing a baseball. I threw right-handed, but I'm not going to do that for you this morning because my right hand hurts. I would throw a baseball the best I could. It was off target. It went about 20 feet or whatever. Well, when I was 9 years old, my best got a little better. I was a little more on target. I could throw it farther. I could throw it harder. When I was in high school, I was really, really a whole lot better. My best got a whole lot better. The same is true for us spiritually speaking. Our best should continue to get better and better and better. Our best should continue to improve. Don't just attend the service. Do something for God. But then don't just do something for God. Get trained to do it well. But don't just get trained to do it well. Then you got to do it and do it well. You see, a lot of people will just attend church service. And they say, oh, that's what I'm doing for God. I'm letting Him be enamored by my presence at church today. Here you go, God. I'm here. Eat it up. Some people will say, well, you know, wait a minute. That's not good enough. I want to do something for God. So they'll start doing some things. When they have time, as it fits in with their schedule, as they can afford to do something, they just kind of go along. But that's not excellence. That's not excellence. We can do it better. We can get trained. We can study up. We can get trained to do something. But a lot of folks, listen here, a lot of folks have said, I will commit to that. I will go to church. I will be involved. I will even get great training, and I will be equipped to do something excellently. And then never put it into practice. Has excellence made its way through that person? No, they stop short. Let me encourage you. Don't stop short. I'm going to preach a sermon one time, something about like, don't stop on 6. You got to keep on going, right? Don't stop on 6, because the 7th time is when the walls fell down around Jericho. Don't stop short. Don't stop short. Excellence means to continue to see how one can do more and do it better. Because of who we are in Christ, seeking to do our best and choosing what is best is part of God's will. And it's an evidence of genuine spiritual growth and maturity. Did you know that? The more excellent your performance is an indicator of your spiritual maturity. Now, somebody out there is already saying, well, wait a minute, isn't that a works versus grace and all that? No, it has nothing to do with it. You don't work to earn anything. You work because of what's been given you. See, now we're back to that attitude. That's the excellent attitude to have, which is a great motivator, by the way. When you sing in worship, sing with excellence. When you teach, teach with excellence. When you tithe, tithe with excellence. When you study God's Word, study with excellence. When you pray, pray with excellence. When you serve, serve with excellence. Is God not worthy of our very best? He is. He is. Chuck Swindoll writes this. He says, strangely, the one thing we need is often the last thing we consider. We've been programmed to think that fatigue is next to godliness. That the more exhausted we are and look, the more committed we are to spiritual things and the more we earn God's smile of approval. We bury all thoughts of enjoying for those who are genuinely dedicated Christians are those who work. And preferably with great intensity. As a result, listen, here's the punchline. As a result, we have become a generation of people who worship our work, who work at our play, and who play at our worship. Dolan, playtime is over. This church is about to embark on several different journeys that will require participation. Not just participation, but excellent participation. Are you serving the Lord with excellence? If you cannot honestly say that you always and have always given your best, the question is, why not? Why not? Is God not worthy of our very, very best? Did God not send us His very best? He did. Jesus Christ, His very Son, came because our best just wasn't good enough. And He filled in the gaps. He supplied where we lacked. and he made us righteous, not by our own accord, but because of his righteousness imputed upon us. That's a miracle, folks. That is the very best. God has given his very best for us. Does he not deserve our very best back? I refuse to let a rock outpraise me. How about you? How about you? Again this week, Wednesday night, let me encourage you to be there. We're going to talk about this important journey that we're about to embark on as Dolan Baptist Church, this time of prayer and fasting, because I believe that God wants to do some incredible things, and he wants to see if we're willing to be committed. He wants to see if we're really willing to give our very best. I want to encourage you, be here Wednesday night while we kind of begin to unpack that idea, that thought. I told our group this morning that I am firmly Baptist in my theology and in my doctrine. I make no apologies for that. I do believe that Baptists, over time, are missing out on some things because they're a little bit afraid of some things. They're afraid to look like this other church that kind of goes crazy, or they don't want to look like this church that just, for whatever reason. I'm a Baptist. But before I'm a Baptist, I'm a Babylonian. Not Babylonian. You may think I'm babbling long enough. This book comes before anything else. I pray that I will follow this book. I pray that you desire to follow this book. Now, there's some crazy stuff in this book. From talking donkeys to water splitting, to rock spitting forth water, to the miraculous stuff in there, and some really weird stuff sometimes. But this comes first. I will choose to believe what's in here before I choose to believe what somebody's told me. I pray that as we begin that journey, as we continue on that journey, that you're on board. You want to do what is right, what is scriptural. I pray that as we enter in this time of fasting and praying, that you would participate. And again, I'm going to unpack that more on the Wednesday and then on Sunday night when we begin. Okay, I'm going to unpack it more. So you want to pay attention to that, because you maybe have questions about what does it mean to fast? What is your definition of a fast? Well, we're going to look at what Scripture says about that. Let me encourage you. Again, let me remind you, we're about to have our time of invitation, but at the end of the service, I'm going to be right over here. And if you if the Lord is giving you the go-ahead to do that, then let's get you down on the piece of paper. Again, not for public display. Nobody else is going to see that. I'm going to keep that private because it is a private matter. This morning, I pray that you've been challenged. My goal was to challenge you. Challenge you to make your best a little better. Don't let a rock outpraise you. Don't let your attitude become one out of just, well, I might as well. No, we have a great reason. A great reason to serve the Lord. And serving the Lord covers a whole gamut of things, right? Now, the only person that doesn't have a reason to serve the Lord is the person that doesn't know Him. What I mean by that is a person who has never entered into a relationship with our Lord and our Savior, who's never come and said, Lord, I need a Savior. I realize that my best just ain't good enough. I need your best. You've offered your best for me. I receive that. I welcome Jesus Christ into my life. I will give myself fully and devoted myself fully to you. Nobody else. You alone. Thank you for forgiving me of my sins. I am yours and you are mine. You see, that's a relationship that must take place before you can really understand what excellence is in serving the Lord. If you've never done that before, oh, today's your day, friend. It just so happens that I would be willing to pray with you today, to read some passages of Scripture today, to help unfold some of the mysteries that your seeking heart would understand and say, yeah, that's me. I want that. I need that. Maybe today you're here and you can honestly say, you know what? I've been busy. I've been doing stuff. I pay my tithe. I do this. I volunteer here and there. But maybe today you could honestly say, but I haven't been doing it with excellence. I haven't been doing it with the right attitude. I haven't been doing it because of the right purposes. I've been doing it with selfish motives, or I've been doing it because somebody expects it of me, or for whatever reason. Maybe you're here today and you want to say, you know what? I heard you, Mike, when you said playtime is over and I'm through playing. I want to get serious and I want to do my stuff with excellence because my God is worthy of it. Whatever your need is, we will be here this morning. Rebecca and I will be standing right here. The prayer altar is open. This is your time. As much time as you need, this is your time. You respond as the Spirit has led you. Don't put it off. Don't stop short. Don't stop on six. Let's go all the way and let's see some walls fall. How about you? Are you ready to see some walls fall? Come on. Stand as we sing. Because I want us to sing that chorus as our benediction here in just a moment, okay? I long to worship you, O Lord. You're my heart's desire. Can we say that's true of us? Can we honestly say that? If you can't honestly say, yes, God is number one, He's what I desire, and I work, and I'll do everything to honor Him. If we can't honestly say that, then let me encourage you to pray this prayer. Lord, make it so in my life. Make it so. Grow me. Stretch me. Mature me until I have achieved the next level of excellence. God deserves our very best. Thank you for being here. Thank you for braving the rain and the floodwaters, whatever. I don't know what all's out there. Alligators in the road, I don't know. Thank you for being here. I pray that today's word has touched you. Please know, as I've said before I can bring you a word from the Lord, it has to start in me. He preaches to me. And sometimes it hurts. Sometimes it hurts. Sometimes it's challenging. I pray you've been both. I pray that you've been challenged and maybe some areas that need to be hurt got a little hurt. Not for the bad, but to make us better. To make our best just a little better.